the podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. Well, Ned, he laughed so hard that Ned would cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run. Hello, folks, and welcome to Friday Night Here, episode 19 of the Run, Run, Live podcast. It's me, Chris, your host, and I'm not as happy as I sound. I'm actually pretty beat. It's not because I have no life that I'm here on Friday night putting together this podcast. It's because I love you, and I like doing it. So that, and also I have no life, but that's another story. I was out in Las Vegas this week, got some good audio from that I'm going to put together. Did my 30 miles on Sunday. That came out pretty well. Got a couple of runs. I'm going to only do a half marathon this weekend. Trying to get off next week, but next week I'm also, it's going to be Canada week if I can work it out. I got a guy from Montreal and a guy from Quebec City that I may be interviewing. And Martin, if you're out there, you signed up for it. You better show up. We all want to hear your cute Canadian accent, and we want to hear how you're preparing for the Marathon du Rivière, is that what it's called? The Quebec Half Marathon or Demi Marathon up there. It's pretty nice. Goes from one side of the Saint Laurent River, from Lévis over to Quebec City, where the castle is over there. And I spent a lot of time up there. I used to have an office up there. Martin's a good friend of mine. And some other gentleman who I just met over the internet from Montreal. And today, we're going to talk to my new friend Scott, who I also met through this podcast. He introduced himself to me. And I want to emphasize that this podcast is all about authenticity, and I'm looking for regular Janes and Joes to come and speak with me. People like Scott and Helena. See, I managed to pronounce her name right once out of all the times I've said it on the air. And, you know, people aren't totally interested in what the superheroes of our sport do. They want to know what you're doing, what the average Janes and Joes are doing. It's very interesting because that's authentic and that's what they relate to. So today we're going to talk to Scott, and he's going to be running the Vermont 50 Ultra Marathon with me. And I think I'll change up the format a little bit today, and I'll have, I don't think I'll do an equipment check. I think I'll just run some audio that I recorded out in Vegas, and then finish up with the tip, do the interview, and try to get it done with a little music. Now, the other thing, go check out the Runnerati blog on the Run Run Live website, because I got my friend Gary Catterin from Episode 8. We're trying to set him up with his own blog. He fancies himself a jaded novelist, so who am I to stand in his way? I'm also trying to push a article out to Cool Running about this whole podcast phenom. So I hope the other podcasters don't get mad at me for talking about it and letting the secret out of the bag. But hopefully we'll give everybody a little press. Hey, sorry for talking so much. On with the, wait for it, show.
Hey guys, this is Chris. Out exploring in the desert. So it's about 6 o'clock, 6:30 local time out here in beautiful Lake Las Vegas. Sort of a interesting place, man. It looks like somebody's been doing nuclear testing around here. It's like the remnant pile of some mad potter's kiln. Just nothing but rocks and dirt. Everything's burnt to a crisp. And so I'm on an adventure. I'll talk to you more about it later. This is the third time I've been out this week out in the desert here. I'm going to see if I can run up this mountain. Talk to you later. So it turns out this trail only went halfway up the mountain. And it takes a shortcut. It's taking me into this Box Canyon with like 1,000-foot you know, treeless, scorched, broken stone walls all around me. It's the sedimentary upheaval of some ancient lake bed here. I bet if I knew what I was looking for, I could find some pterodactyls or some tyrannosaurs in this pile of junk. But across the way, what the trail does, and it looks like it's a maintained trail because they got little like trail markers and walls and stuff. It snakes over to a cave inside the Box Canyon. So I'm gonna go over there, and I'll be careful, try not to get bit by rattlesnakes. But you know, you can't pass up these adventures. Yeah, so I'm down here in this cave. Opens up. It's facing east because the morning sun is coming through a gap and shining right into the mouth of the cave. It's really cool. I don't see any petroglyphs. Usually when I come to Las Vegas, I try to go out to Red Rock Canyon. There's a park out there, and it's got a nice half-marathon loop. And if you look at the rocks, there's petroglyphs on the rocks from some whoever the local people were thousands of years ago. This cave doesn't seem to go very deep, but I'm not going in any further because I don't want to die out here this morning all by myself, get bitten by some nasty thing. This will be the last thing you hear from me. But anyway, I'm out in Las Vegas, and I'm not in the Strip. They got us in this resort called Lake Las Vegas, which is like 20 miles off the Strip, and it seems to be one of those housing slash, you know, casino slash resort complexes that they drop down in the desert here. But it's like half built. It got caught up in the whole bankruptcy thing. Look at that. There's a little canyon with an arroyo. That's very nice. Pretty cool. So you miss this stuff up if you don't get out. You miss this stuff. So I went down to the front desk like I always do when I'm out in travel. I've run the Strip before. That's not very, well, it's interesting, but it's not very good running. You know, all you see is the other runners from the East Coast who are up at 5 o'clock in the morning running, and you see the drunks who haven't gone to bed yet. So it's a little interesting. You run through the casinos and stuff. And I've run out in Red Rock Canyon, but this is the first time I've been out here. This is out towards Lake Mead. And so it's a half-made development. It's got, like, phase, you know, one of the four-phase development. But there's a lot of bulldozer roads. I was out in those yesterday. So, anyhow, I went to the concierge, like I always do. And the concierge was patently unhelpful, like they always are, 9 times out of 10, but probably more like 19 times out of 20 or 99 times out of 100. You say, hey, where's a good place to go running? And they say, well, you can run around the parking lot in the hotel, or we have treadmills, or, you know, you can run down this road here into this neighborhood. And, you know, I'm looking out the window, and there's mountains. And I can see trails on the mountains. So I say to this guy, I say, hey, what about these mountains? And he says, oh, you can't run there. I said, why not? He says, well, there's coyotes and rattlesnakes. It's like, oh, Jesus. So anyhow, I ignored him and ran straight for the mountains and found some neat little trails. But I tell you what, East Coast boy running out here, you know, first when you're traveling, you're already at 60% efficiency because of the jet lag and just the way it beats up your body, the plane time, and I'm walking up back up this trail. Then out here you get the dryness, and it was probably 103. I don't know. It's hard for me to judge the temperature with only 5% humidity, you know, when I'm used to 60 to 70% humidity. But so my efficiency's way down running up these mountains. And I can't get any, I can't, for some reason my lungs don't process the oxygen in this dryness. So, you know, you got to really expect that when you travel. You know, that's my tip for you. You hear how hard I'm breathing? All I'm doing is walking. And you just got to expect it. But don't let that keep you from getting out and exploring. And just don't try to work out or don't try to get, probably some wind right here whipping through this arroyo. Oh, this trail goes another way up into the canyon. I'm going to go that way. So if they find this recorder, that's where my body is. So I'm in like 40% efficiency here. I went running with the guy yesterday. He was all bummed out because he had to stop and walk. I'm like, you know, don't beat yourself up. You know, it's rough running in this strange environment like that. It's so hot and everything. But it's cool. I like it. This is really cool.
And now for our featured interview.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
You're back. See how that works?
It's easy.
It's amazing. Yeah, this is the best service. This is all free, too. Well, it's not free. You have to dial a toll number, but other than that, it's free.
That's great.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's perfect. It sends you an MP3 afterwards.
Oh, great. And you just kind of embed it in your podcast?
Yeah, you just suck it up into your editing software and take out all the ums and ahs and the dirty words, and you're good to go.
Excellent. Cool.
So anyhow, you're listening to the podcast. Good. I'm glad somebody's listening to it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
And the cool thing about all this this running podcasting stuff is nobody does it for like a job or anything. It's just something they're doing for fun, you know?
Right.
So it's sort of, I don't know if that's good or bad. I think that probably makes it higher quality in some sense.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, you're of your own agenda. You don't have to listen to anyone else, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm fried, man. I'm fried. I was out in Vegas this week. I'm jet lagged and getting at 2:00 in the morning. Had an awesome run yesterday morning, though.
Ouch.
Ran up into this canyon, up into the mountains. It was pretty cool.
Where?
It was outside of Vegas, outside over by Lake Mead.
Okay.
Like halfway. It's this place called Lake Las Vegas.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I think really nice terrain out there if you can hit it when it's not too hot. But
yeah, exactly. You can see forever because there's no trees.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Hey, so where do you live? Where are you from here?
I'm in Northampton, Massachusetts. So.
Northampton.
Okay. Pioneer Valley, yep.
A little bit west.
Yeah.
Some excellent trails out there, though.
There is. I've been spending a lot of time on them, as you can imagine. But yeah, I'm exploring lots of trails. Basically, the M&M Trail, which is the big one.
What's that?
It goes from Connecticut up to Monadnock.
The Mid-State.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same one I run.
Okay.
I just run the other end of it. I run the Wapak end.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. What's the mountain in Connecticut is called Metacomet, I think. So it's the Metacomet Monadnock Trail. I just call it M&M Trail.
Okay. Yeah, the end of it up, the Mid-State turns into the Wapak.
Okay.
They're two trails that are part of the same trail system.
Right.
And there's a whole bunch of those. It's it gets fairly technical as you get up close to New Hampshire, up the part I run. I'm actually running that race, the Wapak race.
Yeah.
But next weekend. Thank God it's not this weekend. I don't think I'd be up for it.
Yeah. You sound like all your travels combined with running is can really wear you out.
Yep. That's okay, though.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
I stay on top of it.
Yeah.
So you're training for this Vermont 52.
Yeah, in fact, well, I just signed up or officially registered today. Kind of pushing it off. I wanted to get in at least the 130 miler to see how I felt before I officially threw my money away and see how the days afterwards if I recovered okay. And I did, and I just haven't gotten around to signing up. And I finally said, all right, I got to do this today.
I got a bunch of emails from this guy. You know, the bike race part of it sells out in 20 minutes, but he's been sending whiny emails about needing more runners.
Really?
Yeah. So, if anybody wants to run the Vermont 50 with us on September 28th,
yeah,
sure it'll be a hoot.
Yeah, it should be fun. So it's my first ultra. I think it's similar to you.
Yeah.
Been running. Been doing marathons. I haven't done that many actually. I've only done 3 marathons, but been running recreationally for a while.
Which marathons?
Well, I lived in Portland, Oregon for a while, so I did the Portland, Oregon Marathon.
Okay.
And I did the Vancouver, BC Marathon, which was beautiful.
Yep.
And last November, I did the Philadelphia Marathon because I moved back here and then I picked a BQer. I hadn't qualified before, so I qualified down in Philly, which was nice.
What was your time?
Just under 309, maybe 308, 50 or something like that.
Okay, so you need a 310?
I need a 310, yeah.
So you're a puppy.
Yeah. I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, the Vancouver Marathon has a funny story. I finished that one in 310.09. Is that right? 310.08, which means I missed the qualifier, because they give you 59 seconds. So
they give you 59 seconds.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you a secret.
Yeah.
They actually give you more than that.
Oh, wow.
If you go on the website and try to fill out the form, it won't let you because your qualifying time is wrong. But if you mail it to them hard copy, there's a good chance you'll get in with that close up of qualifying time.
Oh, interesting.
Because I did it once.
Did you?
Yeah. I had one race where I needed a 3:15, and I ran, I was 21 seconds off.
Oh, man.
And so I mailed it in, and they let me in, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is I qualified in, what is it, November of 07, I guess it is, and I could have run it this April, but they give you 2 years to run it because it's so late in the year when you qualify, so.
I think it's 18 months.
18 months, okay.
Yeah,
well,
that's why you always want to do the October-November marathon, because then you get two Bostons.
Yeah, so I picked 09 because I actually had a baby like 2 days before, so I decided not to sign up.
Oh, so you're that guy, the guy who had the baby. I saw you on Oprah.
Yeah, that was me. All right, let me rephrase that. We had a baby. So I'm juggling trying to fit in my runs and also having, I have a 2-year-old as well, so I have a 4-month-old and a 2-year-old, and I'm obviously trying to train for an ultra marathon. Probably weird timing for trying my first ultra, but I don't know, you just can't stop these things once they start rolling.
Yeah, the hardest thing for me is figuring out how to squeeze in a 5-hour run on the weekend, you know?
Absolutely.
There's just no good time. And I'm not real good at getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and running, you know?
Yeah.
With the expectation being that, you know, you're going to get back to the house at 11 and then, you know, work for your wife all day, right? You get back from a 5-hour run, you don't feel like raking leaves and trimming trees, you know?
No. And, I walk in the door and, you know, I have kids jumping all over me and... It's really, you don't go home and do your stretching and sit in your ice bath and all those lovely things I love to do, but, you know, it's part of it all. I mean, but you're right, I can't seem to fit in a 5 to 6 hour run without it impacting a weekend.
Yep.
You know, getting up at 3 is just, you know, so I've been getting up at 4, getting out the door by, like, you know, getting to the trailhead, getting on the trails by about 5, but still, you know, you're home by 11:30, and,
yeah, you're still filling half a day.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know. I'm going to do one more 30, I think, before.
Yeah, I did a 30, you know, again, we're not being exact here, because once you get up into those kind of numbers, it doesn't really matter whether it's 30, 33, or 28. It's just more like the time on your feet, right?
That's right, exactly.
And I did one this weekend, and I was going to do it Saturday morning. I got up, it was pouring rain, right? I said, I don't want to do this. And then I didn't do it Friday. Didn't do it Sunday morning either. I ended up going out at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon and run until like 7, which actually worked out pretty well because I started in the hot part of the day and finished in the cooler part of the day, you know?
That's great.
So that actually worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
And I felt a lot better on the second one than the first one. I think I'm going to try to squeeze in one more 36. And like you said, like we were talking about, I got off that stupid Runner's World program and I'm just doing like an easy half marathon on Saturday and then a 5 or 6 hour on Sunday, you know, in 3-week waves.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. That's how I've been doing it, too. I mean, and the rest of the week, you just fill in runs when you can.
Right.
I kind of like the way the training's going for this. It seems more casual. You know, you're still putting in more miles in a marathon, but it just seems more casual.
It is. You're absolutely right, because you don't have the stress of having to get down to the track.
Yeah.
Do, you know, a 5-set mile tempo workout, which is, you know, you just, to do an ultra run, you can go out after dinner and go run.
Right.
You know, there's no real constraints. Like I said, it's really casual.
That's, I did that last night, in fact, went out at 10 at night and just went out for a 10-mile run.
Yeah. You know? Because of the real low intensity, it's, you know, you don't, like when I used to do speed workouts in the marathon training, you'd really have to be in the right physical and mental state to get a good workout in.
That's right.
You know? It wasn't something you could just sort of blunder into.
Yeah.
But like you're saying, these ultra runs, you know, you can have the first 20K can be crappy. You've got to be out there for 3 hours, four hours, 5 hours.
You eventually feel good sometime in that 4 or 5 hours, yeah. So any marathon runners out there, hey, you know, it's not that hard to train for ultra. Well, you know, time will tell, though. I mean, the race is coming up. What do we have, about a month and a half or so? No, wait. A little less. A month and a week.
Two more hard weeks.
Yeah, then taper begins, which is going to be kind of fun, and it should be interesting.
Yeah, the other interesting thing, and I'm sure you noticed it this week, like I did, is the 2 days after your 30-mile run, you eat like a maniac.
Yeah.
You're like Michael Phelps with 12,000 calorie a day diet.
Yeah, I'm eating all day, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't get enough.
And still feeling pretty lean at the same time, so it's good.
Yeah, it is. It's nice.
I'm not sure I'm going to do more of them. I don't know. I'm kind of big for this. I think this is more suited to more compact individuals. You know, I don't know what size you are, but I'm 180 plus in marathon shape. So,
okay.
You know, yeah. coming down the hills, it's just a lot of weight to carry for that amount of time.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, I'm a tall guy, but I don't know what I am, like 160 or so. But yeah, I it seems like a lot of the really good ultra runners are a little bit more petite and,
compact.
Compact. That's a good way to put it. Not petite. Compact. That's good. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, who knows? After we finish this, we might be all gung-ho on it. And
Yeah.
You never know.
I certainly like the training.
Yeah. Yep. I do, too. It's a challenge for sure, but it's a different kind of... It's a new challenge. I think... it's like you want to try something new and different, and this is definitely giving you that. And I also noticed that I'm not getting – I was nervous that I'd get injured because I tend to get injured during marathon training.
Yep.
And I think it's the lack of hard roads and the lack of speed works, which really can cause injuries. So, those two things
help. You're absolutely right. When you're in the final throes of a hard marathon program, hard marathon campaign, something always hurts, right?
Yep.
It's an Achilles, it's a knee, it's a hip. Something always hurts and you're sort of running in pain. I got none of that.
Yep.
And I'm running for 5 hours. So, and I got to be honest with you, I'm not stretching worth crap. And I'm not doing any core exercises. I'm just going out running for hours and hours.
I'm glad you said that because I stretch a lot more when I was marathon training. I don't know why. I guess you're just, 5 hours, you're like, all right, I'm not doing anything else related to exercise whatsoever. I'm not touching my toes. But yeah, I'm doing the same thing, it sounds like.
So that's funny. So I guess the bottom line here is this ultra training is actually a step back or a step down in intensity if you're used to marathon training. If you're used to trying to run a qualified marathon anyhow, qualified marathons, I don't know about you, but they set those qualification times pretty well for me. They're right at the, 85% effort. Until I got that extra 10 minutes when I turned 45.
And oh, nice.
Now it's fairly easy for me to qualify.
Right. Yeah,
but,
I agree.
But when I needed a 310 or a 315 or 320, I really had to work to get that.
Yeah, it doesn't come easy for sure for me either. I mean, I just had to work at it and get it. I don't know what it's going to do to my, if I do go back to roads. I mean, I have run a few races during this period. I did the Bridge of Flowers.
Yeah,
10K.
With the big hill.
Yeah, that's fun. I've done that 3 years now, and
I'm
not too far from there. Yeah, exactly, and the hill always gets me, but it's odd. I thought I would be slower because, you're just training slower.
Right.
But in fact, I did better, I think, because I was like, this is going to be real short. It's going to be over any minute. Kind of attitude, and you just kind of book it, and with that attitude in mind, like, I'm not doing 5 hours, I'm just going to be on my feet for 40 minutes or something like that, and you can tend to get through it quicker potentially, but I don't know, it seemed to work out for me.
I think so, because I feel aerobically really strong. I haven't raced, but I'm thinking about going out and racing. I don't think it's 5K speed, but I think it is 10K speed. You just got so much aerobic depth that, that's it's got to do something.
Yeah.
So what else? So what are you're gonna do a marathon? That's what I was thinking of doing is throwing a marathon in at the end after we run Vermont. Wait 2 weeks and do do one in New Hampshire or Maine or Connecticut or something.
Yeah, that's my idea too. It feels like why waste all this training? Like you can get a 50-miler out and then do a no expectations marathon somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a. I had Cape on my mind. That's like at the end of October.
Yeah, that's kicked my ass twice now, though.
Really? That's concerning. I don't know if I'm going to try, but I don't know if my schedule will allow me to.
Cape Cod's a beautiful course, pretty course, very nice race, well organized. I know the guy Paul who runs it, a good race director, been doing it for years. It has these little rolling hills at the end, so they hit you sort of at the same point that the Boston Hills hit you.
Okay.
And the two times I've run it, I just have trained for a flat course and then ended up there, and the little rolling hills kind of knocked me out.
Yeah. You wonder if this training now will help that, though.
Yeah. I don't know about you. I'm doing a lot of hills.
Yeah, trails.
But they're not fast hills. They're just sort of grind hills.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm interested to see what happens. Along those lines, I was thinking maybe Clarence DeMar up in New Hampshire.
Okay.
Or maybe the Mount Desert Island up in Maine.
Oh, beautiful.
The beautiful hilly marathon, right?
That would be nice. That would be
It would seem that the training we're doing would be complimentary for that.
Sure.
And I know the guy up there, too. I know the race director up there.
Okay.
So that's what I was thinking, too, but you never know.
Yeah, you don't know.
Usually by the time I get around to sign it up for these things, I'm late by, 4 weeks.
Yeah. I'm gonna do Boston. I got to do that. Since I worked so hard to qualify, I'm going to have to do that in April, but that's a ways off, and it's a whole other training cycle, I guess, to start,
Yeah, and my advice on that, since this is my 10th Boston in the last year, right?
Wow.
And my advice on Boston is don't race it. Train well enough that you could race it if you wanted to, Don't disrespect the course.
Sure.
Because it will humble you. Train well for it, but don't race it. Because it's too much of a sensory sort of event to spend staring at, 3 square feet of pavement all day. So
it's a good point. You worked hard to get there. At least I worked hard to get there, and why not enjoy it while you're there?
Yeah, high five the kids, thank the volunteers, have some fun.
Yeah, sounds good.
And who was telling me, I was talking, it must have been Ron last week who was saying that he had a friend who qualified for Boston and then ran like a 5-hour Boston because he stopped and had lunch with his wife.
That's awesome.
It did all this other stuff, right?
That's great. Fantastic.
Yeah. But you'll love it. It's a hoot.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Definitely.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
So, I'm qualified again. I don't know. I don't have to go now, though. I got 10 in, so I got an out if I want it.
Oh, yeah?
You can make those kind of decisions on decimal numbers, right?
That's true. That's great.
So what do you got for us you said you had some cool technology that you wanted to share.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not necessarily technology, but it's definitely equipment that it's helpful for longer runners. And I don't know if you have one or what you're using for a hydration system. It's always a confusing thing to try to pick out the right hydration system. I know for marathoning, I used one of those fuel belts. I'm notoriously bad at stopping at the water stops. I just can't seem to want to slow down and grab a cup, and I never get it down right, and it's just a mess. So I've always used, fuel belts. But, they slog around a bit in the back, and also for these longer runs, it doesn't hold enough water.
I'd have to push a wheelbarrow to hold enough water for these runs.
Yeah, and it sounds like you have a loop course, so you can kind of...
Right, I do.
That's nice, and I don't have that option really. I could, I guess, but I'm doing some pretty long out and backs, and so I got the Nathan Hydration Pack, which is, it's basically the backpack.
Yeah.
It's the HPL 20, which is a 70-ouncer, and it's unbelievable how you put 70 ounces of water in your back, which is, I don't know how many pounds, probably 5 or so pounds, and you really don't feel it.
More than that.
Yeah, it must be more than that.
Probably more like 15 pounds.
Well, that's the amazing thing. You don't feel it. And I don't know. They really designed them well. I think since the last 5 years or so, they've really come around.
It's got the little bite tube on it, so you can swing the tube around.
The tube swivels, so you can do all kinds of things with it, get it comfortable. You can store tons of stuff in it. I have all my goos in there, and I'll put like 2 or 3 goos in the front and then store a couple more in the back. All the stuff you need, you can just throw in there, and you really don't feel it. It's quite remarkable. So that's my tip. If people are out there running and their hydration needs are not being met, or you're going for long runs and you can't do drop bags or anything like that, you can survive on that for a while.
Yeah.
The one downside, and I still haven't quite figured it out, is you have to choose a drink for the duration.
Yeah.
You could bring a little, like one of those fuel belt kind of containers and stick it in one of your pockets with like maybe your favorite, drink of choice, electrolyte drink. But
yeah.
Or the other option is that you go out halfway drinking water and then you put in some kind of tabs or powder. You can kind of mix it up. But
yeah, I've been doing mostly water. I've been doing a little bit of heat. I do one bottle of heat to start, but when that runs out, I don't refill it with heat.
Okay.
So I can't tell if it's doing any good or not. I'm a little concerned. You know, the amount of water I go through. I go through 40 ounces of 10K.
Oh, wow.
When I start sweating in this hot weather. I'm thinking in September it'll be better. You know, it'll probably be more like 12 ounces of 10K. But still, if you're out there for 8 hours, a little worried about that that water sickness that they're always warning you about.
Yeah, yeah. If you're sweating it out, though, it sounds like you are, then you probably don't have too much to worry about.
No, that's what I mean. The opposite of the dehydration, the one.
Yeah, the
your salt drops and your liver fails.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've been doing this long enough. I don't think I'm going to kill myself.
No.
I think the goos and everything have enough stuff in it. You know, as long as you eat, and I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah, get other stuff in there. And
so what's your target? What do you hope to do this race in?
You know, I don't know. I actually was, when I registered today, I started looking at the times, and, you know, I got some decent advice from that last interview you did. Was that Don Allison?
Don Allison.
He had some really good tips, I thought, and, you know, very general, very sort of basic but important things that you might forget about, you know. And he's like, you know, just look at the website, look at the last results, and just see, you know, what's the average, what's the fastest, what's the slowest, and, you know, where do you usually fall in a regular race, and you could kind of set your goal to that. And it looks like, I was looking today, and it looked like, you know, halfway point, or the mid-packers are doing around 10 hours or so.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, around 10 hours, but there's a lot of elevation gain and drop in this one, which slows you down. I mean, it doesn't kill you, but it slows you down.
Yeah, it does, and I don't know how
so that, yeah, that's the outlier.
Exactly, yeah. But, I mean, there's some guys doing it in paces of 7:48 or something like that.
I read the Wapak Trail Race, and I remember the leaders, because it's an out-and-back. I remember the leaders passing me. I don't know. You know, I was less than halfway done, and they were coming back the other way, right? And these little guys, and they're, like, swinging from the trees like little forest elves, you know? Just flying. And just, you know, like bouncing from rock to rock. It's amazing how fast these guys go in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, the guy, I think the last guy won it was like six, they did it in 6 hours and 40-some minutes or something crazy.
Yeah.
That's flying.
Well, they're, we got to share this course with bikes, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
That's the one, or at least the one hopeful I'm having is that, well, I've been running some trails, and I know they would never get bikes up these trails. So I'm like, all right, well, if they can't get a bike up this trail, I know you can.
Right.
Pretty much bike this whole course. I think they have to walk parts of it, but
yeah,
it, you know, that's my only holding on to that the fact that you have to bike.
That'd be a bit easy.
Yeah, I'll be surprised, won't I? But it, you know, at least we know there's not some. It can't be that technical.
No, it can't be big rocks.
Yeah, it's going to be hilly, but it can't be that technical, and
right.
I'm holding on to that. So.
That's okay. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
No worries.
Yeah.
You never know until you try, right?
Right.
Ready for a nice adventure.
That's
what running's all about, is the adventure, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I agree.
So, you know my favorite question, right?
Maybe. Which one?
Why do you run?
Why do I run? Oh, well, you know, I think most people that run, you know, over 20-some miles a week or whatever, you know, do it because they love it. I mean, there's reasons like losing weight and keeping healthy. But, you know, just the pure joy. I feel most natural when I'm running. You know, I put on my gear and my shoes, and sometimes I'll just step out the door and just let out a hoot and holler, you know, just so excited to get outside. It's, you know, it's like
That's
I'll
great.
Just hoot, and then run off. And I just get so excited about it. It's like I used to do a lot of skiing in college, and pretty much every day or every other day. And when I put on my skis, it felt almost as natural as wearing my everyday shoes. I could, you know, get around on them, and just it felt natural. And now it's kind of coming that way with running, particularly with the amount of hours we're on our feet these days, training for this thing. It's just like I feel more normal in my running gear than I do in regular clothes now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it just feels best when I'm in that environment, and particularly now with the trails, I think it brings a whole new level of excitement and you know.
Yeah, it's good to be in this kind of aerobic shape too. I mean, it really opens up a lot of alternatives for you.
That's true. Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot, and you know, always like being in the woods. And I used to be big into hiking, and now I'm just doing the same things, but covering more ground and seeing a lot more.
Yeah, it's pretty.
So that's fun, too.
Yep, I love the woods. Get a lot of energy from the woods. All right, so I guess I'll have to let you go to back to work now. We're coming up on 25 minutes.
Yeah, sure.
And I look forward to seeing you up at the race.
Yeah.
I'm going up, I don't know, whatever the night before. Is that Saturday?
Saturday, the night before, yep.
I'm staying in Springfield, Vermont.
Okay.
In some Holiday Inn up there.
Right on.
And it's close to Wiscutney.
Good. Yeah, I'll be camping, so we'll see how much sleep I get, but...
Well, my family's been threatening to come and support me, which would be the first time in about 10 years they've done that, so we'll see.
That would be awesome, yeah.
All right, man.
All right, thanks a lot, Chris.
Be good. See ya.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
So it turns out this trail snakes up and out of the canyon. It's a real trail. It's not a mule path. It's got rocks lining it, so it's like Sierra Club. Single path, rugged, technical, but a real trail. Not that I've been known to go cross country at times too, but it's really pretty up here. I'm in the saddle on the other side of this Box Canyon, maybe 1,000, 1,200 feet up from the hotel. I'm looking down the hotel at that silly lake of Las Vegas, you know? Somebody had the bright idea to build a lake out here. I wonder how much they pay to keep that thing in water. And, of course, three 18-hole golf courses in the middle of the desert. And you can see the power lines coming in from the Hoover Dam, as we would say. The Hoover Dam. And the crackling when you run under them, they're carrying so much power. Over from Lake Mead. Sun's coming up over the mountains. It's really pretty. Rough terrain, but pretty. See, this is the sort of thing you miss if you chicken and stay in your hotel room or go on the treadmill and drag your... You know, running's about adventure. And when you're out traveling, I know you feel shitty, but you gotta get up and get out, man. This is the kind of adventure you have. You have these epiphanies. Glad I could share this with you. Look at that. That's cool. You know, the ribbons of rock in the strata here. I'm gonna definitely find some dinosaurs. So this trail dead-ended on the top of the highest peak around here. I'd have to go with maybe 2,000 feet. I don't know. But it sure is pretty. And so I got the sun rising over Lake Mead. I can see over there in the east. I got the strip. Oh, I got to move. I'm standing on a shaky rock here. I'm on a precipice about 2,000 feet in the air, looking down on all sides. I guess if I wasn't so stupid, I'd be scared. But and I'm looking across at the strip over here to the west, across one of those typical red sandstone canyons, 15 miles away. Everything's clear as a bell. No clouds in the sky. Sun's just coming up. Maybe a little windier here and here. I'm trying to cover it because it gets windy out here when you're on the top of the mountain. Sure is pretty, man. Looks like, you know, the rocks here look like something you'd dump out of your barbecue grill. There's more vegetation over here. A random creosote bush or two. But not much. I don't know what lives out here. But if it was full sun, if it was noontime, I'd never survive this trip. I'm going to head back. I've been out a while, so I got to head back and get on with my day. Now I get to run downhill, though, which is always kind of cool, and through the canyon, through the switchback. And if it turns out I got killed by a snake, you guys can tell them that I thought it was worth it to get this view. It's pretty cool. All right, man, I got to go wash up, put my suit on, and go belly-to-belly with some Fortune 500 executives. So this is Chris. I'm out.
Hey there, my good-looking and intelligent friends. That was good. That was episode 19 in the can. A little bit different format, but I thought you'd appreciate the adventure here. If you can hang on for another 3 minutes, I got an awesome tune for you. This one's going to make you wiggle if you're out running. It's called You're Gonna Need Me. And I believe the album name is Hot It Up, which I just love. And, of course, the singer is a Rasta band called Mr. Vegas. We will see you next week, and we will see you out there.
Well, this Mr. Vegas alongside Jovi Rockwell. You hear some of my next girl, so she's not doing too well. Hey. Make me leaving 2 weeks past, I'm missing no liquor squeezing. You know, see, in a we better on freezing. I start here, say, so what me, you start freezing. 1 month me gone, and a new man you find. It look like, say, you did have him long time. Now you start accuse me with words so unkind. I quite like, say, me commit the worst crime.
When you leave and say goodbye, don't come back with tears in your eyes. You had a good lover once, but you didn't know.
Bye bye.
Listening to the Run Run Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show, or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, run, live. The podcast for all your running needs.